Welcome to Ash JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. This is the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. Before we begin, this program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery for Sharon Mittman, Shlomo Ben Sarah, and Dorit Bat Sarah, and to Ilui Neshamot, to elevating of the souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zeb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Mir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mittman, Dennis Shor, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolot. And I'm going to start off by speaking about, before we give the information on how you can support the Hilltop Youth, I'm going to speak about what has happened here, because we told you about the destruction of two very important strategic Hilltop communities that JTF has been supporting. And those Hilltops are almost completely rebuilt already. But of course, we have a lot of challenges ahead of us. Another Hilltop, a third Hilltop somewhere else, was destroyed for the third time in a month. So we've got a lot of challenges here. And again, you may wonder, well, if they're going to destroy and we're fighting back and forth, and we got to rebuild and destroy and rebuild and destroy. If we're not there, if Jews are not there, the Arab Muslims that want to destroy Israel will take over. And there will be a Palestinian state in everything but name. There are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine. That's a complete historic fallacy. But they will take over Judea and Samaria. And there will be a so-called Palestinian state. And that is national suicide for Israel. So we just can't afford to have that happen. This is the premier battle for the survival of Israel. Now, the reason why those two Hilltop communities were both destroyed in one day, last Wednesday, in fact, the reason that was done is because the Hilltop youth are gaining popularity among the Israeli public, or among segments of the Israeli public that are concerned about preserving the land of Israel, certainly among the religious and among nationalistic Jews and right-wing Jews. They're gaining popularity. There's been a massive propaganda campaign designed to smear them and say all types of terrible things about them, but it isn't working. They've been gaining popularity, especially since what happened to a 16-year-old Hilltop youth hero, Ahuvia Sandak, Alav HaShalom, Zichrono Lidracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. This wonderful 16-year-old hero was murdered by the police. And since that murder, that grisly murder that took place, and since there have been demonstrations now to demand justice against his murderers, against the police who murdered him, and the police have used terrible brutality against the peaceful demonstrators, this has been creating growing sympathy and support, to the point where the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament, passed a resolution 40-2, by a vote of 40-2, saying that a committee has to be set up to investigate this murder. Now, there was no talk of this before the big demonstrations and before what the police violence and brutality. So they see the enemies of the settlement movement in Israel, of those who are against Jews settling in their own land, and those who want to surrender Jewish land because for a million insane reasons why suicidal, self-hating Jews do what they do. But they see that the Hilltop youth are gaining popularity and people are beginning to see that these are truly idealistic, sincere, magnificent young Jews. And so because of that, they're trying to crack down, and they're going to say, oh, we'll show you. You think you're going to win because you got the Israeli Knesset now to vote to create a committee to investigate the murder of this young Jew? Okay, we're going to show you. We're going to destroy two of your Hilltop communities. And they maliciously and violently did it. Stealing, by the way. They steal the property of these people. You're not allowed to steal the property. I mean, even under Israeli Bolshevik laws, you're not allowed to do that. They steal their money. They steal their property when they go and destroy these homes. They violently attack the women and the children. The police beat the women and the children. I mean, it's just atrocious what goes on there. They desecrate, the mezuzot thrown on the floor and just trampling upon religious items, and just the horrific things, the horrific crimes that the police carry out on orders of the government, on orders of the Israeli government, when they destroy these beautiful communities of these wonderful Jewish idealists. Things they would never, never, never do to the Arab Muslim Nazis. The Arab Muslim Nazis deserve everything that you can imagine. You know what I would like to see happen to the Arab Muslim Nazis who want to exterminate us. Okay? They deserve much worse. They deserve the worst possible punishment you can imagine, because they want to exterminate the Jewish people and have already murdered thousands of Jews since the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. And yet, they would never, never, the police, the army, the Israeli government would never dare do to them or to their religious items for their crazy terrorist religion, Islam. They would never dare do to them what they do to these young Jews and what they do to Jewish religious items and the crimes they commit against these young Jews. Never do that. You'd never see this type of police brutality. You'd never see them beating and throwing you're throwing Arab women on the floor the way they throw Jewish girls on the floor and beat them and punch them and kick them and hit children. You'd never see this happening. You'd never see this happening with Arab Muslims. They destroyed two synagogues, on one in each of these communities. They were small, very, very small, humble, little one-room synagogues. But Jews came there to pray, and it was a synagogue. Would they do this to an Arab mosque? Are you kidding? And so the Israeli public sees this type of behavior, and this is building support, and this is why the government is trying to crack down on this movement, because they realize that this movement is gaining popularity and that the Israeli public is beginning to understand that those who are in power are destroying the Jewish state and endangering the Jewish state and endangering Jewish survival, and those who are part of the Hilltop Youth Movement are the answer. These are the idealists that offer an answer, that offer a reason for us to be proud to be Jews and proud of the land of Israel and proud of our young Jewish heroes. And it's not just the incident of the murder of this 16-year-old Jew, Ahuvia Sandak, by the police. We had, for two whole years, they had a police blockade. The police and the border patrol had a complete blockade of another Jewish hilltop community called Kumi Uri. And they wouldn't let anybody go in or out. I mean, they wouldn't let anybody visit. Only people who lived in Kumi Uri were allowed to go in and out, and no one else was allowed to visit them. It was a complete blockade. I mean, something which you would never see that for two whole years. They would never do this to Arab terrorist villages that have sent murderers out to slaughter dozens of innocent Jews, and they wouldn't. And these Arab villages, again, whom the police know and whom the soldiers know have been responsible for the murder of dozens of Jews. They don't do this to those Arab Nazi villages. All of the people in the villages support the terrorists who carried out the attack. All of them celebrate and dance and celebrate when Jews are murdered. And yet they never do this to an Arab village or an Arab community, even though the Arab villages are built illegally. But in Kumi Uri, for two whole years, they blocked off and wouldn't let people go in and out. And it was unbelievable. We finally, JTF got involved. We gave them the support they needed so that they would have time to publicize what was going on, so they were able to get rabbis involved and other people and members of Knesset involved. They were able to finally had time to do things because JTF is backing them. And so the blockade on Kumi Uri was lifted. It's not a coincidence that for two whole years they couldn't lift that blockade. 1 month after JTF got involved, the blockade was lifted. It's not a coincidence, because the thing that is lacking most, they have young Jews that are willing to move out there. They have young Jews that are willing to sacrifice everything for the land of Israel. Beautiful, God-fearing, Torah-true Jews, together with their wives and their children. They have people like that. They have that. They have the skills to be able to survive there. What they don't have is financial support. That's the one thing they've never been able to successfully do. We're providing financial support. We've given them maybe about $60,000 in the past few months. But they need much more. And we're doing everything we can to try to find ways to find more money for them, because they need much more. Because with $60,000, how do you build houses with $60,000 that have been destroyed? You want to have to rebuild when it's been destroyed. You can't let them win. You can't let them destroy. You've got to rebuild. And building houses for $60,000? You know, and they have other, and the $60,000 also goes for other basic needs. They've got to eat. They've got to have clothing. And if they work, if we don't give them the money and they have to work full time instead, they don't even have time to publicize the injustices that are being done against them, which is their only weapon. Their only weapon against this type of brutality and sadism and anti-Semitism from the government and the authorities, their only weapon is to publicize it and let the Israeli public know what's going on, to create counter pressure. Because the left-wing media smears them and tries to convince the Israeli public that they're terrible, they're terrorists, they're racists, they're against the Arabs, all the smears and all the politically correct baloney. Baloney. The Arab terrorists who say they want to exterminate the Jewish people and push the Jews into the sea, they're not racists. But Jews who want to live in their own land, all they want to do is live in their own land, they're racists, they're terrorists, they're terrible. What a sick, sick people. And so we're giving them the ability to expose this and at least giving them a fighting chance. It's still an uphill battle. This is still David versus Goliath. But at least JTF is giving Goliath the slingshots he needs giving David the slingshots he needs against Goliath. And remember, this may be David versus Goliath, but the last time there was a battle between David and Goliath, it didn't turn out very badly for David at all. Results are pretty good for David. So let's not, just because the odds are against us, let's not lose hope or faith. And these young Jews, they never give up. And we have an obligation to be there with them every step of the way as they fight this sacred battle. And so that's what's going on. We've got to find other ways to help them. And that means all of you that are watching this, you've got to help. If you can help financially, please help us financially. If you can help by spreading the word and strengthening JTF, please help us do that as well. Whatever you can do, we've got to help them. This is our obligation. This is the big battle. And tragically, only JTF is the only organization that's fighting the battle with them. Before JTF, they had nobody fighting with them. They were all alone. All alone, just young Jews in their 20s and teens, desperately trying to save the land of Israel from a complete Arab takeover. And, because again, if the Arabs take over Judea and Samaria, we're back to the boundary lines of 6 to 9 miles, Israel 6 to 9 miles wide. That's Israel's boundary lines. That's insane. That's complete suicide. All of Israel's politicians and leaders always told us that that's suicide. And they would tell it, and then they were telling us the truth. Now they're telling us, well, for peace, we have to have peace. The Arab terrorist murderers who just murdered another Jew this week from Australia and stabbed an elderly Jew in another city, and all the Arab terrorist leaders in Ramallah that Israel's giving money to, and that Israel's financing, giving them free electricity, free water, free food, they want peace? That's going to bring peace if Israel weakens herself and becomes as indefensible borders? Are you kidding? And of course, it's a terrible, terrible, unforgivable sin to give a part of the land of Israel. God wants us to have the entire land of Israel. He demands that we redeem and settle the entire land of Israel. God help us if we go against that commandment. For the sake of these beautiful young Jews, these wonderful, idealistic young Jews, God may save us in the end for their sake, because they're so devoted and so pure and so willing to sacrifice, that maybe for their sake, I hope Hashem will have mercy on all of us. Anyway, if you want to help the Hilltop Youth, the way to do it, there are two ways you can do it. You can go to our Hebrew main page, and our Hebrew main page is on hayamin.org. You just go to hayamin.org. And there you can access our PayPal account, you click on the donate button, which is in English on the top. It's Hebrew. The main page there is in Hebrew. This is the page that we use to reach people in Hebrew. But the donate button on top is in English. It's in English and in Hebrew, actually. But for those of you who are English speaking, we have a donate button there in English as well. You just click on the button, and in several minutes, you can conveniently make a donation to help the Hilltop Youth, to help these Jewish heroes. It's freezing now. It's freezing. It's winter time, and there are cold winds, and it rains, an ice cold rain on these hilltops, and they're elevated, so it's very cold. And they're living there with no running water and no electricity. They have generators, but the generators, it's very expensive, using diesel to, so they can't have the generators on all the time, and it's very, very cold, and they have little babies and children there. So if anybody has, if you just have basic compassion, just a heart, you got to help these people. And no one is more worthy of your help than these Jewish heroes. Especially their women, by the way, and their children. They're especially brave. The men are also, the young men are also very brave, but the women there, the wives and the women there, and the children there, they're really brave. They really deserve our help. Every one of us should be, this should be a very important part of our lives, for all of us. So one way is you go to hayamin.org and then you can donate by clicking on the donate button. And the other way is by sending checks and money orders in the regular mail to JTF PO Box 650327. That's JTF PO Box 650327. Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. I know I took up a lot of time, but this is the most important thing in my life. That's for sure. And I hope it'll become an important thing in your lives as well. You won't regret. Having helped them, you won't regret. Okay, let's go to our questions from our great JTFers, and we start off with Ram Sheva Sheva Efes, who writes in Hebrew, and I'm going to translate it quickly from Hebrew to English and just take a couple of minutes. I know most of our JTFers do not speak Hebrew, but this will only take a couple of minutes. And Ram writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim Hayakar, Mashlomcha, Hello Chaim, how are you? Yeshli Ikun, Biyom Rishon Haacharon, Nifgashnu, Ani, Udi Vertman, Ben Sion, Gagola, Veod Haverim, Im Haver HaKnesset, Simcha Rotman, Bikneset Yisrael, Hu Muchan Lazor Lecha, Ba'aliyah Shelcha, Arza, Im Ata Muchan Ledaber, Im Simcha Rotman. Okay, he says basically that he and several other people met with Knesset member Simcha Rotman, and he wants to know if I'm willing to speak to Knesset member Simcha Rotman, who is willing to help me with my aliyah. And I'll answer the question in a moment. First, let's just finish with his question, which is Udi Vertman Siper leSimcha Rotman Mikol Halev et haSipur Shelcha uMakara Lecha. Bidyuk Hayim Hayim Ken Ech Tirtze Sheani Yekasher Beinechem Hu Muchan Lichtov Michtav Lesarat Hapnim Ayelet Shaked. Agav Madat. Okay, let's stop here. And he says that he's asked how he can connect me with this Knesset member and what I think of this. Agid Lecha Et Haemet Ram, ani modeh lecha al kol ma she'ata oseh. Ani lo optimi ka'et legabei hasikuyim sheli la'alot la'aretz, afilu im yesh chaver Knesset shemuchan la'azor li. Kimo she'ata yodea, minisayon, ata yodea kivar she'ayu chaverei Knesset she'azru li ba'avar, Moshe Feiglin, ve'gam haya od chaver Knesset le'she'avar me'halikud, bizchutcha. Who nisa lazor li? Ata dafka amarta lo ma hasipur sheli veshichnata oto lazor li vehu nisa lazor li vehu katav michtavim vezelo heziz et hashiltonot ki ani tzarich yoter mistam chaver Knesset po vesham ze lo maspik kidei לשנות מה שקורה לי. אנחנו צריכים לחשוב על, אסטרטגיה אחרת. לא שבעתיד אנחנו לא רוצים להשתמש בזה, אנחנו כן רוצים להשתמש, אבל זה לא מספיק. זה לא מספיק, ושוב, אתה יודע את זה, כי אתה עזרת לי עם חבר כנסת בשנה שעברה, אם אתה זוכר. And I just said to him, I'm not optimistic because having one Knesset member intervene on my behalf, I don't think that's enough to move things. And I reminded Ram, Ram helped me with a member of the Knesset who did intervene on my behalf last year. I gave him all the documents and he intervened and he wrote letters for me and it didn't change. It didn't change anything. So, you know, we need more than just a Knesset member helping me. We need to think of a strategy. We're always working on thinking of things, but we need to think of some strategy beyond just having a Knesset member write a letter. Unfortunately, it's not enough to change things. אגב, מה דעתך על אלי קאי, השם יקום דמו, שעלה מדרום אפריקה בשביל לשרת בצהל והוא נרצח בדרך לכותל המערבי, ובנט הרשע אומר שהוא הרוג ולא נרצח. איזה ממשלת זדון, וגם נתניהו הרשע, בגללו יהיו פיגועים. מקווה שיבוא הגאולה השלמה והמשיח. Okay, and he asked me for my opinion on Eli Kai, who is a Jew from Australia, not Australia, from South Africa, that made Aliyah and that was murdered this week by the Arab Muslim Nazis, who are allowed to do whatever they want. They have a license to kill. Allowed to do whatever they want, and they murdered him. And he's asking me what is my opinion on this, and he hopes that the Mashiach will come, and he hopes this will end. Barur sheze davar nora ram, Hashem yikom damo, ze ma sheyikre ad sheyiyu lanu manhigim yehudim amitiim. Ani modeh lecha ram. I thank you, Ram, for the questions, and now we go on to Chicago Jew, our good friend who writes, and I quote, Mark Zuckerberg is a self-hating Jew. You would think that with all of his billions he would use his Facebook as a force of good to help his fellow Jews. You would also think that with all of his billions he would have the pick of the litter and easily find a Jewish girl to marry, but instead intermarries, unquote. Chicago Jew, agree with every word. And I don't think you'll have anybody disagreeing with you, not on this forum. On this forum, everybody agrees with you. No, everybody hates Mark Zuckerberg. He is the ultimate self-hating Jew. He's the scum of the earth. You're absolutely right. And now we go to another good friend of ours, Yimach Shmo to Islam, who writes, and I quote, Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube, is one of the ugliest self-hating Jews. Wouldn't you agree? Unquote. I certainly would agree. Her mother was Jewish, and her father's Polish. Her father's a Polish, is not Jewish. Father's a Polish Catholic. And she is absolute scum. Absolute scum. YouTube, Google, Facebook, all of them. There are so many Jews involved with these evil, social media sites, and they're all so anti-Semitic and so against Israel and so against the Jewish people. It's absolutely atrocious. Thank you, Yimach Shmo to Islam. And now we go to the great Hirvatsky Noachide, who writes, and I quote, in the Torah law for Gentiles, if someone rules over a nation or a part of a nation despotically, he and all his officials are considered like a band of robbers whose laws are not binding, and any taxes that he takes are theft on his part. In light of this, do you see why the COVID pass despotism is morally problematic, unquote? No, I disagree with you, Hirvatsky. I agree with you that if someone rules over a nation despotically, that it is indeed it's indeed a form of robbery and terrible injustice, and there are many other aspects of God's law that are being violated when this happens, and that's true for the Gentiles and for the Jews. It's true for both. But I disagree with you as far as COVID is concerned. I think that when it comes to COVID, I believe that it is the unvaccinated that are driving this epidemic. This could easily have been wiped out by now, or at least turned into something like the flu. But the unvaccinated are the ones that are keeping this problem alive. And unfortunately, my poor mother, 87-year-old woman, who had been vaccinated, but because of her age and because she had been a cancer survivor and had other illnesses in the past, she was vulnerable. And she was one of the few breakthrough cases of someone who's vaccinated and has a breakthrough. And so she lost her life because of that. If the unvaccinated would get vaccinated, we wouldn't have this problem anymore. Over 90% of the people that are hospitalized and over 90% of the deaths in Western countries, including the United States and Israel, are the unvaccinated. Even though the unvaccinated are a minority in the population, most people are vaccinated. The majority of the population in all Western, in almost all Western countries are vaccinated. But because of the unvaccinated, we have this continuing problem, and again, they are the overwhelming majority of the hospitalized, of the seriously ill, and of the people who are losing their lives. And if you're upset about the COVID pass, and you think that it's a form of despotism, and you're upset about it, we wouldn't have this problem. We wouldn't have this problem if people would just do what they have to do to end this terrible thing, because we have a cure for this, or we have at least something that prevents it in the vast majority of cases, and that could turn this into a problem that would be at least livable. We'd be able to get by without it. But if you're upset about the masks, and if you're upset about the fact that people that there are all types of rules and regulations and things that are to protect people, if you're upset about it, it's the unvaccinated who are responsible for that. Thank you, Hidovatsky. I know you don't agree with me, but the truth is the truth, and those are the statistics. Thank you, Hidovatsky. And now we go to our great friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, discuss the following U.S. senators from New York. Well, Binyamin, this isn't going to be easy because I don't know some of these people. All right, let's see. James M. Meade. Binyamin, I don't know who that is. I don't know who it is. Irving M. Ives. Binyamin, you got me. I don't know who he is. They must have been senators way before I was born. I don't know who they are. Kenneth Keating. Now, Kenneth Keating, I do know because I was a little boy when he was a senator. He was defeated for re-election in 1964 by Bobby Kennedy. Yimach Shmo. And he was a Republican, a liberal Rockefeller Republican. So obviously I don't like people like, I don't like Rockefeller Republicans, and I don't even like Republicans who pretend to be conservative. I believe in real right-wing politicians, but if we had any. But Kenneth Keating was a left-wing Republican. Robert F. Kennedy. Robert F. Kennedy was a senator from New York when he was assassinated, when he ran for president. He could have, if he hadn't been assassinated, he might have been elected president in 1968. He was assassinated, by the way, by Sirhan Sirhan, who was ordered to assassinate him by Yasser Arafat and the PLO. He was actually, he did this, Sirhan Sirhan, as part of the PLO. And today the PLO is funded by the United States taxpayers, the United States government. He murdered a United States senator and a presidential candidate. The PLO did this. Arafat ordered him to do it. Because Arafat stupidly thought Kennedy was making pro-Israel speeches in 1968 to get the Jewish vote. And so Arafat stupidly thought that that Kennedy really is going to be pro-Israel, which of course was nonsense. The Kennedys are anti-Semites. Always have been, always will be. And now, Charles Goodell. Charles Goodell was another left-wing Rockefeller Republican. John Lindsay, Nelson Rockefeller, these so-called Republicans who spend even more than the Democrats when they get into office, they're a disaster. And Charles Goodell was a U.S. senator who was like that. James L. Buckley. James L. Buckley defeated Charles Goodell in 1970. James Buckley was... what happened was there were three candidates running in 1970 for the U.S. Senate, and two of them were one was a left-wing Democrat, one was Goodell, a left-wing Republican, and James Buckley ran on the conservative party line, and he won because the two leftists split the liberal vote, and so Buckley got in. I don't remember he got 38-39%. I don't remember what he got, but it was I think in the upper 30s, and he got in a three-way race. But you want to know something? Buckley And William and his brother William F. Buckley are also phony pseudo-conservatives, also part of the establishment. Benjamin, I don't like the establishment. Democrat, Republican, liberal, or so-called conservative, I'm not an establishment guy. I don't like the establishment. I don't like what they stand for. And then Daniel Patrick Moynihan, that animal. He was a left-wing Democrat and a drunken pig, just a horrible, disgusting person who accomplished nothing for New York and accomplished nothing in the Senate, and the Jews loved him because he claimed to be supporting Israel. He wasn't pro-Israel at all. In fact, he actually criticized Israel at the end when he wasn't going to run for election. Then when they're not going to run and need the Jewish vote, then they come out of the closet and start attacking the Jews. Then you see the anti-Semitism. Next is Hillary Sodom Clinton. Well, you know that I despise that beast. She's the scum of the earth. She was a senator from New York. That's true. She was elected to the Senate from New York. And just an atrocious, evil, vile woman her husband is a serial rapist. And just a horrible, evil, immoral criminal. And she defended everything he did because she was also a criminal. She also committed many crimes. She was corrupt and dirty and a liar and a vicious anti-Semite. Vicious anti-Semite. And accomplished nothing in the Senate. And then Kirsten Gillibrand. Oh, that's another one. Yeah, she's the current senator from New York. She pretended to be a so-called conservative Democrat when she was in upstate New York, because she was in a Republican district, one of the few areas of the state which was still Republican at that time. And so she pretended to be a conservative Democrat so she could get elected. But the minute she got elected to the U.S. Senate statewide, New York, which is New York's very left wing, she moved all the way to the left. All the way to the left. She is such an absolute fraud. Thank you very much, Benjamin Yisrael. Let me sum it up for you. They're liars and thieves and frauds. We don't have honest people in politics. You know that I like Ted Cruz, and you know I liked Rabbi Kahana in Israeli politics and Ted Cruz in American politics. But beyond them, there really aren't many. I don't like politicians, and I can't stand the establishment. Thank you, Benjamin. And now we go to Joel Gutfeld, our good friend, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, since Hanukkah is coming up, can you talk about the importance of the holiday? Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, as well as a very happy Hanukkah. Well, I certainly wish a happy Hanukkah to you and to all of our JTFers. Hanukkah is the holiday which all the assimilated left-wing Jews used to celebrate. Now they don't celebrate it. Now most American Jews do nothing Jewish. There's nothing Jewish in their lives. They have no involvement in anything Jewish anymore. They've completely assimilated. But once upon a time, when Jews were pretending still to be Jewish in America, Hanukkah became the most important holiday to American Jews, even though it's not the most important holiday. It's a beautiful holiday. It's a wonderful holiday, but it's not the most important. Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shavuot, Simchat Torah are all much more important. Pesach are also much more important than Hanukkah. But Jews made Hanukkah the holiday because it was close to Xmas, and because the Christian parents, or the people who call themselves Christians, were giving gifts to their children, and Xmas the Jews wanted to have something where they could give gifts also, so they had the Hanukkah, so they had Hanukkah, and they even had Xmas trees, which they called Hanukkah bushes. American Jewry, boy, would I love to make Aliyah and get out of this country already. Anyway, whatever. Hanukkah is a holiday, and the left-wing Jews that are celebrating it, the comical thing is the left-wing Jews that made such a fuss over Hanukkah and that claimed to celebrate it, they're celebrating their own defeat. Because Hanukkah is a holiday where the very first thing that the Maccabees did was kill the self-hating Jews. They killed the Mityavnim, the Jews that were adopting the Hellenistic Greek idolatrous culture. Most Jews were accepting the idolatrous culture at that time and were willing to leave Judaism in that generation. And the Maccabees were a minority, just like the Hilltop Youth of today. They were a minority who rebelled against the self-hating Jews. And they actually killed self-hating Jews. They had a war and they killed the self-hating Jews, and eventually they got the Jewish people to wake up and to fight back and to get the Greek Hellenistic idol worshipping occupiers out of the land of Israel against great odds. That's the story of Hanukkah. That's the real story of Hanukkah. The defeat of Jewish assimilationism and intermarriage and self-hatred, that's the story of Hanukkah. And yet the left-wing Jews, they're celebrated as if it's their holiday. If anything, it's the holiday celebrates victory over them and over their whole way of life and celebrates a return to authentic Judaism. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. Imagine if today we had Jews who went around killing self-hating Jews. I mean, and I don't advocate that. I do not advocate that. I'm not advocating that. I don't want to get us into problems here. I don't advocate anything illegal on this program. But that is what Hanukkah was about. That's what Hanukkah was about. That was Hanukkah. Judaism is such a militant religion. It's a militant religion. It's a religion that the Upper West Side Jews who talk like this, and we have to compromise and schmear and labissel and be nice, and after all, and turn and after all, don't fight, don't curse, be nice, speak nice, give geld to the Schwarzes, maybe they won't bother us. You know, this is the mentality. That's not the spirit of Hanukkah, and it's not the spirit of Judaism. Never was. The spirit of Judaism was represented by Rabbi Kahana. Rabbi Kahana was the one leader in modern Jewish history who was most similar to Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and David HaMelech and all the other great Jews in Jewish history. It was Rabbi Kahana who was similar to them and who represents authentic Judaism. Now we go to another very good friend of ours, Noah Hyde, who writes, and I quote, "One, what is your opinion of Anne Frank? Did you read her diary?" Unquote. I did read her diary. I was required to do it in school when I was in what was called junior high school. They don't use that term anymore. I forgot the term. Middle school. I don't even remember. I think it's middle school. But when I was young, it was called junior high school, and we were required to read the diary of Anne Frank, which is a very sad story. Her and her family were murdered by the German Nazis. And in fact, they were turned over by Dutch Nazis, who ratted on them because they were hiding. But as sad as the story is, the diary is very depressing to me because of her whole mentality, her whole attitude. Anne Frank wrote in the diary, she has nothing against the German Nazis. She's not against the Nazis. She forgives them. She forgives them. She forgives people who murdered sadistically, brutally murdered over 6 million innocent Jewish men, women, and children. And she forgives them. I mean, this is sick. This is just sick. Anyway, second question from Noah Hyde. Is it okay from Torah's perspective that her father published a diary because of the intimate details it contains? Unquote. Well, I suppose if it was teaching us lessons that we have to learn about the Holocaust and the importance of the Holocaust, the importance of the Shoah, in Hebrew, Holocaust is Shoah. If it was teaching us important lessons, I think it would be okay, because it's very important for the Jews to be educated about, and for the Gentile world as well, for the whole world, to be educated about what took place and what lessons we should learn from this, from this horrific crime that was committed. But the problem is, the things that were written there and the opinions that were given there are so antithetical to authentic Judaism. They are the exact opposite of what authentic Judaism tells us we're supposed to believe in and how we're supposed to respond to evil. So, because of that, I think publishing of the diary was not helpful at all. Thank you, Noah Hyde. And we go now to Am Raphael, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think has to be done with Africans in Israel? Who is the best candidate, in your opinion, to be prime minister in Israel? Okay, Africans in Israel, well, they're now 70% of the population in South Tel Aviv. Netanyahu and the Likud, the big right-wingers, they allowed them to come in and invade the country. Most of them came in when Netanyahu and the Likud were in power. And he did not throw, he threw out almost none of them, 99.9%. He allows them to stay there. I'm not allowed to go to Israel, but these African Muslim murderers and rapists are allowed to come and take over whole cities and turn whole neighborhoods into Bedford-Stuyvesant and Harlem. All of them should be expelled immediately and not given compensation and money. And they should be thrown out in the worst, roughest way possible so that they'll know that they're not to come back. And never should they be allowed into Israel under any circumstances. They should be kicked out. And the reason the Africans are in Israel, the reason they were able to do this is because of Netanyahu, because of all the other, including Bennett, all the politicians in Israel allowed this terrible thing to happen to Israel and are allowing it to continue, allow more illegal aliens to keep coming to Israel. Mistananim, they're called in Hebrew. The Mistananim are allowed to keep coming and coming and coming and destroy the Jewish character of the state. All of them should be expelled immediately. Immediately. I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel, but they're allowed to stay there. And by the way, I have to say, they would not have been able to come to Israel if not for the retreat from Sinai. If Menachem Begin and the Likud had not given Sinai to Nazi Egypt, they wouldn't have been able to get into Israel. They were able to get into Israel because they were able to go through the Sinai and reach parts of pre-1967 Israel. But if the Sinai was still in the hands of the Israeli army and Israel had not surrendered the Sinai, Menachem Begin and the Likud had not surrendered the Sinai, this would never have happened. We would have hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that would not be in Israel today, and Israel would be a much stronger, wealthier, more beautiful, and safer country. As far as the, you asked me also whom I think is the best candidate to be prime minister in Israel, I don't think any of the people in Israeli politics are worthy of being prime minister. I don't support any of the Israeli politicians. The last time there was a politician in Israel who told the truth and who was genuine and authentic was Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. Our beloved leader, Moreinu VeRabbeinu, our beloved teacher and leader, Rabbi Kahana, he was the last leader who should have been prime minister and who was worthy of support. Since then, all of them, lying, stabbing us in the back, not keeping to their principles, all bad news. Thank you very much, I'm Rafael, for your very good questions. And now we go to the great Kahana Was Right, BT, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what should be done to prevent murders like that of Eli K, Hashem Yikom Damo, in the old city of Jerusalem this week? It seems the Arab murderer, Rat Garbage, had a machine gun hidden in his robes. He woke up that morning and decided to murder Jews like a normal person wakes up and decides, I'll have coffee today or I'll go for pizza. What's wrong with these animals? Unquote. Well, you're absolutely right, and people, you see, this is the problem. There is a complete disconnect between the Arabs and the Jews. The Arabs have a culture where sadism and murder, they murder their own children, they murder their own wives, they murder their own children. The girl didn't come home in time from school, or she went out to a pizza store, or she didn't wear her hijab, and they murder her. I mean, there are many cases of Arabs murdering their own children, their own women. I mean, this is a society and a culture of sadism and brutality. And the women, the Arab women, are brutal and sadistic. Usually you'd think women would, because women, it's in their nature to be more compassionate and kinder and nicer, because they have to, nature makes them that way. It's supposed to make them that way if they're normal. Nature's supposed to make women nicer. They're the nicer sex. They're the more compassionate, and the more compassionate, nicer ones, because they have to be kind and compassionate and gentle with the children to raise the children. But Arab women are sadistic. They scream and celebrate. Remember 9/11? They're going, and they're screaming and celebrating and having a great time. I mean, this is just, you know, this is a society of monsters. Monsters! The founder of their religion, which they so fervently and fanatically believe in, the founder of their religion was a monster, a mass murderer, a mass rapist, a pedophile who married a six-year-old girl when he was in his 50s. Monsters! So, I mean, this is just, you know, this is a sick, jealous, evil, cruel people and culture, and the Jews had better understand there is no coexistence. There can be no coexistence with such cruelty and such wickedness. They must go. That's what Rabbi Kahana said, and he was right. And Kahana was right now asks, and I quote, two, please comment on the black Jew-hater serial criminal Daryl Brooks, who committed mass murder in Waukesha. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Waukesha or Waukesha in Wisconsin. Unquote. Well, what we know about him is, first of all, he murdered, for those of you who don't follow the news, it's all over the news, obviously, he murdered, this is a black beast who murdered five innocent people in a parade and injured 48 other people. 18 of the other people were injured were children. With his car, he ran people over. He used his car as a murder weapon, just to run into people and just maliciously murder people whom he never met, who he knew nothing about, who never did anything to him. Just murdered five people, mowed them down with his car, and injured 48 other people, including 18 children. And he was allowed. How was he able to do this? This is someone who is a serial criminal, as Kahana was right mentions. He was out on $1,000 bond. He ran a woman over. He used his car to run a woman over and nearly murder the woman in early November. Just a few weeks before this incident, he ran a woman over with his car, tried to murder the woman using his car as a murder weapon, and was given a $1,000 bond and released on a $1,000 bond. And prior to that, he tried to murder someone with a handgun. He fired the gun to try to murder somebody and was released on $500 bail. He jumped and skipped and violated all the conditions of his bails and bonds, and all the time he would run from place to place. Plus, he was also a registered sex offender in other states, in Nevada and other places. I mean, these people, they go around, they commit murder, they fire weapons, they use their car to run people over. And they're sex offenders. In other words, they attack minors and children or rape or sexually assault innocent women. And then they're free. The judges free them on $500, $1,000. Just free them and let them go, even though they have a history of bail jumping and of violating all the conditions of everything, any bond conditions or bail conditions. They automatically violate it. And despite having a history of doing that, they're freed. Again, they're freed. And again, they're freed. If this country doesn't wake up, this country is finished. Finished. Kaput. That's the only thing I can say. Thank you, Kahana was right. And now we go to our very good friend, Chabad Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think that Linda Pimp will run for Congress and join the squad?" Chabad Kahanist, I'm embarrassed to tell you I don't know who you're referring to. I don't know who you mean by Linda Pimp. I don't know. I don't know who you're referring to. I'm sure it's a humorous. I think you're using a humorous term or a humorous name. I don't know if her name really is Linda. If there really is a Linda Pimp, I think you're using probably some humorous term to refer to somebody. But I honestly don't know who you're referring to, Chabad Kahanist. So I hope you'll forgive me for my ignorance and for being too thick to understand who you're referring to. I apologize. That's another program of Ask JTF with our great JTFers. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history and we can make this a better world. For JTF Until Next Week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.